This is SaaS Scaled, the podcast where data meets action, with host Arman Shrocki. Each week, Arman will be sitting down with CEOs and industry leaders from the technology sector, giving you the insight to innovate without reinventing the wheel. They'll discuss challenges, best practices, and how to identify the right metrics. So if you want to get to market faster and in a way that matters, then subscribe and join us every week as we discuss SaaS Scale. This episode is brought to you by Curve, the modern no-code analytics solution for SaaS companies on AWS. The tools you need to take action with your data on a platform built for maximum scalability, security, and cost efficiencies. If you're ready to reduce complexity and dramatically lower costs, then contact us today at curve.com. That's Q-R-V-E-Y.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of SaaS Scaled. I'm pleased to have Cenk with us today. And can you introduce yourself, Cenk, and tell us about yourself, about the company? How did you, decide to start or join the company?
Thank you, Arman. It's a great pleasure to be a guest of your podcast. My name is Cenk Sidar. I grew up in Istanbul, Turkey, moved to the U.S. for my master's education, studied international affairs and economics. So I'm, I'm kind of an unorthodox profile for a maybe tech podcast. I'm a trained political scientist and economist. But I found myself generative AI space, especially merging or integrating my prior career in social sciences, political risk, social analysis, and macroeconomic analysis, combining those areas with the technology and AI last 5-6 years. In earlier part of my career, I work as a political risk and macroeconomic consultant for multinational corporations and financial institutions, help them to navigate risk and complex regulation, mostly in emerging and frontier markets. Of course, started around my home country, Turkey, and Middle East, Eurasia, Africa, but then expanded to the other regions that there is a high operational and compliance risk. And then that experience brought me to where I am today, where I started Enquire AI in 2017. We built a network of knowledge professionals in 180 countries. As of today, long story short, we have about 60,000 experts from all industries, all countries, all sectors. And we have hundreds of clients that engaging the experts on the platform through efficient knowledge sharing tool called Network Pulse that we created, the patented product we have. But also we've been building our knowledge co-pilot about a year and a half now that trained on our proprietary data in our system, basically our platform generated data that is generated directly between the expert and the client engagements. So that puts me somewhere in the middle of the Gen AI, human analysis, and the technology. And I believe this is kind of a very interesting, area to be in today, especially when all these areas have been progressing.
Great. So you mentioned in the knowledge economy, definitely if you look at the 10, highest value companies on earth, probably you should see most of the companies listed there are, about data and knowledge, about the information. And that's really the economy we live in right now. That's totally different than 20 years ago. So with that said, of course, we are also getting into starting the AI kind of era. We are at the very starting point, but you have started that journey as well that accelerates the knowledge economy And what you do, in a way, it's really at the centerpiece of that, right? So you guys are helping knowledge workers. You are leveraging AI technologies, in particular Gen AI. Can you expand a little bit upon that? That how do you position what you do with regard to where we are and trending up on that?
No, thank you. I mean, of course, like for sure, knowledge becomes such a centerpiece of today's economy. Everything, you know, moves super fast. It could be industrial knowledge, you know, global macro, understanding what's happening, like every single geopolitical crisis impacts, you know, like every even small and medium-sized company now, you know, in any part of the world. So it's no longer only certain number of multinationals are impacted from the Russia-Ukraine war or Israel-Hamas conflict or even potential, you know, invasion of Taiwan by China, right? Everything is interconnected. So that requires for individuals, decision makers, and companies to be super agile and understand all this, you know, micro and macro risks. Yeah, and AI definitely, or technology in general, makes, you know, much convenient for companies to be more agile and understand the risk and take action when they need to take action. So I gotta take a step back. You know, I think AI is a very, like, you know, broad term used in general. So I think, you know, as Arman, like, you know, you are expert in the technology field and you've been around much longer, and you know, AI has been always kind of a buzzword. Like, you know, I think AI is usually seen something computers can't do today, but, you know, the industry expects to do in the future. It's kind of more science fiction aspect of AI. But looking at what we've been going through today is mostly generative AI technology that, you know, put AI at the agenda of many people, many decision makers and different media outlets that cover AI on a daily basis. And we talk about AI regulation. And the reason is because I think Gen AI, and more specifically ChatGPT, did to everybody what Model T did in, like, you know, in 20th century or industrial revolution, right? So we were talking about industrial revolution and mass production, but I think everybody starts seeing direct impact of AI revolution or technology revolution with the launch of ChatGPT, because, you know, unlike other revolution, ChatGPT or Gen AI revolution aims to mimic human judgment and human analysis or human behavior or human, like, or labor in general, so that it may have the potential to destroy more jobs than create new jobs, unlike the other revolutions. So this is kind of why we're talking about it. This kind of the context. But the knowledge economy that, you know, coming back to the initial question, knowledge economy is, of course, different. We need human input in making decisions, because every decision related to businesses, you know, operating in high-risk geopolitical markets or economic uncertainty or industry-specific risk, you know, requires understanding of human decision-making process as well, because most decisions are made by humans in that ecosystem. You know, if there's a geopolitical decision, it's impossible to predict irrational human behavior. Because you may not know what other motivations, you know, may lie behind that decision, or what other motives can be exist. Like, you know, in when everything is rational, maybe you can implement certain, you know, formulas to predict human behavior. But mostly humans are not very rational in business or politics, where, you know, political and business decisions impact corporations. So that's why my belief from day one was, even though all these you know, other technologies improve, like AI or data analytics or big data, like, you know, we talk a lot about big data 10 years ago. We don't talk too much about it, but still, it's still, like, you know, is about data and, you know, computing power and everything. So it's definitely related to what we're talking about today as well. There was a lot of hype about data about 10 years ago. There were a lot of companies launching solely data-driven indices predict where the next Arab Spring can happen, or analyzing social media data and see, you know, what may go wrong in the world, in the economy and stuff. I think there is a little bit, you know, rationale behind it. But to be honest with you, I never believed in that. And because, again, human component is still very important and it's going to be important as long as humans survive. So I was very skeptical from day one when there were so many quant geopolitical, political risk indices companies or any, you know, companies that launch in that era. And I believed in the power of and the importance of human judgment, human analysis, and human empathy. And that's why my company, when I started in 2017, was a global network of experts. We all start onboarding highly qualified, knowledge workers throughout the world. And we created a profile for them. And they created their profiles on the system and we provided access to the decision makers directly to be able to consult with those experts. But from day one, I had an understanding that language is the new data. So we didn't want to create that through non-written engagements or non-written, you know, we didn't want to be like a professional services firm. That wasn't what we were doing because I had a professional service company before. So the idea behind Enquire was to create a platform where supply and demand of knowledge can meet each other on an automated platform. And the whole back-end work of who knows about this business issue can match directly with the right group of experts. And you can collect real-time insights from the specific group of experts within minutes for your question, for the problem that you want to solve. And we built a strong matching technology, of course, connecting the questions with the respondents, the experts. We built the foundation. But the most important, the most important part of our vision was we did everything within our platform and we start generating proprietary in-platform data generated from top experts in every single industry, like country and issue last 5-6 years. And when we created a library of questions and answers from subjects of food and beverage import to Nigeria to blockchain technology in Silicon Valley to electric vehicle manufacturing in China, we only generated content from the most relevant top expert in that specific area. And we knew from day one that, just the human engagement wouldn't solve the problem, but the data that generated through like social data or like large, or web scraping would be useless because you don't know where this data comes from. But in our platform, we knew that the data was coming from top experts at the right time, in the real time basis. And we created this tool and open up to decision makers. And rather than charging them thousands of dollars for reports or expert calls, we basically, with this new product, we educated them that you don't need to commission 15 page report for $30,000 mm-hmm. from a top consulting company. What is the problem you want to solve? What insights you need to have, ask this question, get real-time content from the top experts for $300 within minutes. And you get not only from one expert, from five experts, and we automated the whole process. And we created significant efficiency because imagine today, like if you have a business issue, you don't have time to commission a report. I mean, that business opportunity may be gone. In a week, to commission a report to top consulting company, you're going to go, you're going to negotiate, you're going to engage. Let's say you have a contract vehicle, whatever, but it's at least 10 business days. Sit down.
Can you give us some examples? For example, just a specific example, like, hey, this is the question, for example, right? Yeah. So one sample question. So we can get a better understanding of what kind of questions people might have that come to the platform and put it there and just collect answers.
So anything related to business, policy and markets are the verticals that we focus. So we have a private equity asking about insurtech in United Arab Emirates. You know, mm-hmm. what players are available or what is the competitive strength of company X versus Y. Or there may be a question about the upcoming elections in South Africa and, you know, what areas of the country may be imposed to violence and, you know, more physical security. Or the question could be about, you know, how the recent European Union AI Act may impact data company in Italy. So the questions are questions that require some sort of strategic insights rather than tactical information. We're not competing with Google. We're not competing with, you know, open source research. You don't want to ask the size of, banking industry in Turkey. You want to ask like why the company or the bank X is, you know, has a brighter feature than bank Y. And you would get responses to that question from top banking executives in Turkey, retired or active, and they will share their unique insights, and they would, of course, get compensated for the knowledge they provide. So the use case is very wide. We work with many hedge funds, private equities, multinational corporations, market research companies, consulting companies, because think from the consulting company perspective, they have existing relationships, but they don't want to build like a huge armies of, you know, professional services teams.
And researchers, yeah.
Exactly. So they can basically use our network as a lean model and network that generate content. So we work with almost every consulting company and they rely on us to generate content. And the content generated belongs to us, to the platform, but also we license the content to the users. So if consulting company X ask a question and get 3-page content from top banking experts in Spain, that content can be used for their client deliverable. So that was Arman, the main model. So this still like this is a technology enabled marketplace model if you think about it, right?
Sure.
But
so yeah. No, go ahead, sorry.
But the interesting thing is with everything happened in the AI space, Gen AI space, mm-hmm. open us a huge opportunity to become mm-hmm. an AI native company. And, you know, and now with all the data we own and the data generation capabilities we have, we start building our own co-pilot for research. And now we are mm-hmm. able to recycle the, you know, or Q&A data set and provide real-time answers. And real-time, I mean real-time, to the clients. If we have the data set on the specific subject, but we created a workflow that we can go and get the insights from the experts if we don't have it. So we created a loop among technology, data, and AI, where AI learns from human experts and or human experts learn from AI on the same unified platform. So we became more like a knowledge network combining AI and human rather than being an expert network, you know, providing professional services to decision makers in industry.
Yeah, no, that's great because the more quality content, in this case, you are really not collecting just any content, you are collecting quality content. And the more quality content you collect, the system gets smarter. So the value that you are creating is really increasing by the amount of quality content you collect. And then AI is boosting it because then it's really getting on top of it and building that kind of model and language model underneath. And then starting to even, you know, amplify the value that you are creating. So that's great. Is there any particular vertical that, for example, you may say healthcare is the most active, or for example, geopolitical or whatever, is there any particular domain or vertical that you may say, that's really where we are shining and we are getting a lot of inquiries?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I think we were a bit brave at the beginning, and we tried to cover everything. And, you know, and we have an expert network or knowledge network in all the areas. But of course, I'm coming from geopolitical, macro, you know, macro risk world. Of course, the initial 5,000 experts in the platform were from Johns Hopkins SAIS or, you know, Columbia SIPA or, you know, Tufts Fletcher or Harvard Kennedy type, you know, or my, you know, co-founder went to Wharton, and, you know, so it was more like certain schools, certain mindset. But, you know, starting after seed round and Series A in 2021, we really solved the power of the tool and we focus on the technology. And we realize as long as we have the critical mass in a certain industry and vertical, we can create high quality data or high quality output. So as of today, of course, we are stronger in certain areas where we have clients that we do. Electric vehicles are an area that we do a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Semiconductors. We work with global risk teams, trust and safety teams at multinational corporations. We work with private equities. We work with venture capital funds. But venture capital funds, of course, they may be interested in seaweed food, you know, technology development and satellite technology next day. We have former astronauts on the platform, and we have former ambassadors, or we have, you know, owner of 30 car dealerships in Ohio is also part of it. Because every expert, every knowledge asset we have in the platform have certain type of human judgment, human assessment, human empathy, human know-how that would be useful. And we're not being now, to be honest with you, like, especially in the areas that we work and we learn a lot as a company and as CEO, I learn a lot, of course. So we have very unique challenges, you know, that we hear, especially this is related to the first topic we discussed, Armand. Not everything is so interconnected. So you wouldn't be surprised now a private equity is asking about, you know, something they wouldn't ask 10 years ago, like why they would be interested in, you know, learning about, you know, space installments, you know, or they want to understand how to launch missiles. Because they may be somehow exposed to an investment or their portfolio company may be chasing some sort of contract. So everything is so connected to each other now. So it's almost impossible to say, oh, we are healthcare. You know, we are like COVID had a healthcare component, policy component, you know, a security and risk component. So during the COVID, for example, we were able to answer questions that covered all this, you know, adjacent issues. So that's a challenge. But every month we're adding about, you know, hundreds of new experts, you know, sometimes thousands of new experts to the platform. We have, of course, we use data analytics. Okay, what areas we are missing, you know, expertise. You know, if we get new questions, we do recruitment on those areas. We invite experts to that area. So we were a bit brave at the beginning. So maybe that, you know, that may have created some impediments, you know, in terms of like, oh, we do this and then that. But our thesis was every single discipline is kind of connected to each other. It's very difficult to specialize or on one area. But yeah, but so far, you know, I think now we passed that point because we have, you know, a good critical mass in all the major areas. And we also follow areas like generative AI wasn't a term for expertise 2 years ago, right? Or large language model. So we needed to bring experts in that field, which means there were data scientists that trained on that. So we also like updating our like, you know, semantic search capabilities and parent-child topographies for the keywords and stuff. So like it's a work in progress all the time.
Sure. And I think really, Gen AI is helping you to democratize it, right? So, for example, in the past, if you were relying only on just particular experts to come in and provide the answer, as you are collecting more of these answers, building that kind of knowledge base, then you can really go there and just open it up in a kind of automatic versus more a kind of, you know, maybe manual style. maybe some kind of two plans. So that way you can open it up in a, you know, maybe to more audience.
Arman, I mean, that's the most exciting part of what I do now, because here's why. So like, as I mentioned, like in the first 4 or 5 years of the business, we were upending how the intelligence has been gathered and distributed, right? So we were basically building a better mousetrap because, you know, you need to consume some intelligence to make a decision rather than ordering a report and waiting 3 weeks. I tell you, you can get it in 45 minutes and get a report. But now we're talking about a bigger revolution, especially with the generative AI. And here is why. Now, with all the language data we collected, you know, became our top asset. Because if you look at the large language models, you see significant commodification of large language models. It's very difficult now to differentiate OpenAI's GPT from, you know, Google's model or, you know, Meta's Llama or any other model, because they are basically getting the same data from the universe of data, and they get stuck with organic data, and they even start generating synthetic data. That would be a major risk. And all the core technologies, computing power, make those large language models very similar to each other. And what makes AI tools different is the data that powers those large language models. So that's why I think we're now in the second layer of AI use cases. Companies like us, you know, we don't have millions of dollars to build large language models, but we can take a language model, or we can even combine multiple language models with each other. Now, multi-model technologies or enable that. You know, like we can do Mistral, we can use GPT, we can use put them all together. Or differentiator would be our proprietary in-platform data. So that's why we saw Reddit, almost a forgotten company, became again at the top of the agenda for technology media. So the data that we created, I knew that that was always important, and we could always, you know, benefit from that, because we knew that language was becoming more data and that was important. But with all honesty, we didn't know that we could productize it that fast with the advances in the large language model. Because think about it, Arman, like I cannot open up my library of questions because there's a private data. Like if a private equity is asking about, or hedge fund is asking about a specific issue, I cannot fully open, hey, this question is asked by this company and those are the experts responded, for two reasons. First, I have a you know, a privacy agreement with the customer. I can't announce what they ask. The second, experts may not be happy if they responded a specific client question. And I mean, I have the right to use it, but also ethically, you know, I can't, you know, basically advertise someone, maybe say something controversial,
sure,
not knowing that it will be used. But this new technology or advances in large language models and Gen AI enabled us to ingest all that data to our own, you know, data lake, and enable us to retrieve intelligence when needed by anonymizing it under the name of our Gen AI co-pilot, IDA. So that immediately created a utilization of our thousands of questions and thousands of answers. But most importantly, that made me think about the democratization aspect, because you mentioned that is very important. It used to be we were powering decision makers in the enterprise world or consulting world or the finance world, because they were able to ask a question, get a response, because they used to pay $300. We have an enterprise agreement. You know, we're not opening up. We didn't open up our platform to everybody. That used to be like a minimal, you know, whatever enterprise deal that we had to do, whatever the amount was. But this technology, specifically Gen AI and productizing the or existing data lake, enabled us to create a new tier of users, rather than now me going to Fortune 100 company, I can go to, you know, Arman Eshraghi and say, hey, Arman, you're doing a podcast on a daily basis, you know, on a weekly basis. You are a consumer of news, intelligence, and commentary. So Arman, you may be interested in accessing our data set, and I can charge you you know, $18 a month. So you can use that data. And the minute that you want to dive deeper on any subject, I also open up the platform. You can arrange a call or you can ask a question and swipe your credit card and do 75. So more, it's exciting for me as a CEO in order to generate revenues. But more importantly, from the democratization aspect, I can now open up the knowledge base we created to other experts on the platform. So they can also learn from other experts' outputs. So I will not be limited as an expert to make money on the platform every time I answer a question or every time I do a phone call. I can also use the platform to learn from your expertise in SaaS models or, you know, other areas, so that it's going to be bilateral, two-way exchange of knowledge. That's the real excitement, because we remove the barrier between the expert and the client. So in our model, now there is one tier, which is knowledge worker. I can be a consumer of knowledge in certain areas, and I can be provider of knowledge in certain areas. And I can get paid to answer questions, you know, on the areas I know, and I can use the AI we created to learn from other experts' knowledge, or I can pay other experts if I want more deep dive information. And in the platform, AI learns from human and human learns from AI, and there's a dot data that powering those two elements of the learning process.
No, that's great. I think as AI getting more common and it becomes a utility, that like electricity, you can use it everywhere. And we are going to use it, you know, most of us are increasing the usage of AI in everything we do, right? Regardless of what fields we are working on. The knowledge, however, is not going to just be more common, and the quality knowledge is not just going to be easier. It's just the way it is. So you have to really instill the value of that kind of knowledge, I think, will stay high. And AI is just an accelerator to really bring more crowd, more people to use the knowledge and find the knowledge that is relevant to them faster, better, cheaper. So I think definitely what you do is great, because you are really focusing on building the knowledge base. At the same time, on the other side, you are leveraging AI and new technologies to democratize it. And I think the combination will work beautifully. And over time, the value is just moving up as much as the knowledge you collect is better and more relevant. So, yeah, that's great.
It's a huge opportunity. I mean, of course, I mean, I just talk about how, you know, that Gen AI revolution created a huge potential for a company like us, you know, for a SaaS company like us. Maybe, you know, in order for us to scale and, like, you know, reach out to a larger group of customers with the, you know, productifying the data set we have. But also, as you mentioned, that creates so many opportunities for many companies, you know, to build, you know, specific tools for specific verticals. And, you know, and as you mentioned, data and knowledge are at the center of it. You know, we used to use that term, data is the new oil, last 10 years, right? And, you know, that is more data generated, but there's no more oil generated. So this interesting area. But data is, but now what we see is, like, data is really the most important, precious element of the AI revolution. Because if I have, like, large sets of, you know, real estate data, I can go build an AI tool that, you know, that can help, you know, to, you know, buyers and sellers. So, like, I think there will be specific tools, or it's not just like the data, but also how to generate data, you know, because if you have one data set, like, I see a lot of companies, I know that Arman, you're, you know, seeing that a lot of companies start building their, like, Gen AI co-pilots using their existing knowledge bases, but most of the time those knowledge bases are documents or internal papers or most of them are useless because, like, you know, if a consulting company has a report on Russia pharmaceutical industry written 20 years ago, or even forget about 20 years, like 5 years ago, that doesn't mean anything in today's market. That is a bad data. They're going to make your AI even worse, you know? So like, how are we going to create like data on a real-time basis? What I'm excited is not all the data we created in the past, but how we will keep creating through the Network Pulse product on a daily basis. While we are talking, I have dozens of questions running on the background, and AI is getting better. So I think one like advice to any like startup founder or like a company trying to pivot now is like, not just focus on the data, but how you create like, you know, real-time data that's going to be useful. It may not be, you know, some data must be very like time sensitive. Some data may be a little bit, maybe, you know, more like time agnostic. But I think we live in a very interesting time, especially when, you know, large foundational model companies like launching features, and that make so many, you know, AI startups irrelevant because they don't have anything authentic. You know, they just work on one AI feature. Like, let's say, I mean, you know, like a lot of companies like created meeting notes, AI meeting assistant, you know, I mean, or taking notes or translation, or just talk about AI translation. Now, ChatGPT does the AI translation. How an AI translation company can survive, like even in a two-way, they're doing simultaneous translation. So I think it's very, things move so fast. But one thing I know, I'm very confident about my business and my startup, because I have data, I have human network, and I have the tool who would create more data using the human network we have. And the human network is growing on a daily basis, and data is growing on a daily basis. And of course, we do our best to fine tune or, you know, the model, and, you know, improve the technology, make the matching better with the in-platform data we generate. So it's such an interesting and challenging time for any entrepreneur in AI and tech space, but also provides so many opportunities for those who can think out of the box and can, you know, understand what solutions would survive next, you know, 3-5 years. I think it's impossible to plan beyond 5 years at that point. I think that's why I'm looking like next 5 years. In 5 years, like, we don't know, AGI or whatever, you know, that we can be living in a different world. But 5 years is my focus point right now.
Absolutely. No, that's definitely a great hybrid model that you guys have between human and AI, and collecting knowledge from human, building the right and quality kind of knowledge base, and then, you know, expanding it using AI and democratizing it. Now, a question that is more about really particular domains. Let's say somebody builds a knowledge base around a very, very particular domain. Let's say, for example, car repair. I just wanted to answer the questions about any car repair question that you might have. Is this something that you see your company either cater the platform to those kind of things and say, hey, this is the platform we have built and we can make it available to other companies taking it and building that knowledge base? Or do you see you yourself actually doing it, going to different domains and just coming up with very, very specific domain and say, this is really the knowledge base for that particular domain and we are going to, you know, get it started?
No, great question. So we build a SaaS solution for our technology. So I don't think we go and build like, you know, vertical specific knowledge bases, because, you know, that requires, you know, building the network, building the expertise. And of course, in our platform, since business, I mean, I mentioned about crazy examples, how granular questions we can answer in the platform. So there's sometimes there are questions about pool, like billiard tables in Spain, and what kind of company, I mean, it's very, or what kind of would they use in billiard, you know, tables in, you know, I mean, those are super granular. I'm like, I'm usually thinking, oh, we're probably not going to have like expert population to answer. Then we have experts like answering, and I'm like shocked most of the time. So we won't like build like a legal, you know, Q&A database or accounting Q&A database or car repair or cardiology, like a medical, you know, those are regulated areas, but I'm just giving an example. But, or technology is agnostic. So we work with some companies, you know, consulting companies mostly at this point, but in the future, we had a conversation with a hospital network. Because imagine, like, the tool is as good as the experts in the platform. If you're a hospital network, you have 500 cardiologists, the part of your network, and you trust those cardiologists because they are doctors you hired as a hospital network, and you know those are your people. So you can run a very sensitive question. So our technology is applicable to almost anything related to knowledge. We have customization of keywords, you know, matching technology, the tool, exactly like how the question has been pushed and how the answers are coming, how AI is reading every response and rating it. Everything is customizable. So technically, we could build knowledge bases for different organizations in order for them to build the AI co-pilot. You know, we have different models. We have a model that we basically provide the tool and they host the or application on their premises, and we don't even see the data. So they build their own data sets and they make their co-pilot much stronger. Because I give an example, like consulting company X versus consulting company Y. Every consulting company that you can think of now builds a co-pilot, you know, XGPT or Ask X, right? I'm not going to name. But their data is limited to their reports they wrote or their Slack conversations or emails. And most of them, like, they're not structured data. They're old data. When we implement our technology internally, they can help. Basically, they can convert the head knowledge of their consultants and knowledge assets to institutional knowledge. So, and there are two advantages. One, they can collaborate with each other. They can break the silos. So a healthcare unit within Big Four can learn from accounting unit because there may be some relevant topics. And most importantly, they can optimize cost and time. But more important than what you ask, Armand, like, they can also create their unique proprietary data set that would power their co-pilot, and they would make their co-pilot differentiated than the consulting, you know, Y companies' co-pilot. So this is, I think, what companies and large enterprises start understanding. One missing element in data collection is the human assets those companies have. I think there are ways that you can ingest thousands of pages of documents, but how you get the head knowledge of Mike, who worked at Coca-Cola for 30 years and did a lot of, brand work for Coca-Cola, he's going to retire. Imagine that employee would be engaged with, you know, hundreds of questions. So basically you would replicate the thinking and the human judgment capabilities of Mike, and make him infinite and like eternal as part of the institutional knowledge of the organization. So we work with some large companies who understand that very well, but I think in the near future, I think we also want to create more like a off the shelf version of our technology that you will be able to get your internal, you're going to be able to build your internal ecosystem within weeks. We can technically do it. We just don't have the bandwidth of marketing and sales. So we have the technology. Sometimes, you know, we get inbound requests and we start building them. So we have a couple large initiatives that we've been working towards that goal. But I believe this is also the two pillars of our company, because our enterprise and partnership levels, we can share our technology to help other companies to build their own co-pilots. And this is, of course, very exciting from the perspective of, adding new revenue verticals for the business as well.
No, that's great. And it can foster on both sides. It can foster really new projects or even new businesses. On the SaaS part, somebody can take that technology platform easily and just go and focus on processes and focus on building that knowledge base and building, you know, that network. It's a lot of work, as you said, because you need to focus on particular domain, but at least you have the foundation, you have the technology. That part, you don't need to worry about it, because it by itself can be a little bit, that part by itself can be a lot of work to really work on. You know, you have to have that kind of experience and expertise to build that software platform, technology platform. But if you have it, then you focus on what you are best at, meaning that you know that domain and you can work. Also on the large enterprise side, that can be very interesting, as you mentioned, because they can take it and then look at it from, hey, we are building this knowledge base internally for ourselves, different from, you know, monetizing it, or different from the way a SaaS company may think about it. It's still very valuable for the large enterprise because they have a lot of expertise and a lot of knowledge inside the company that they need to capture and put it there and don't make it accessible to the rest.
And Arman, very, very interesting you said that, because I thought that was like no-brainer like 2-3 years ago, even like creating that kind of workforce collaboration. But the interesting thing is we've been, you know, working with some enterprises for that position, for that product, and we already have the technology. Like, again, we have a patent and technology and innovative solution. It was more like, it was more seen like a nice to have addition or alternative to email all or Slack all or every organization. That is a great product, but you know, I know whom to call, you know, and it's almost impossible. If the organization is more than 500 knowledge workers, impossible that you know who knows what, because things are changing fast. But now it moved from nice to have tool, must to have tool, because they realize now, and I've been talking about it almost like 2 years, they realize now what would make their AI strategy unique and successful is the proprietary data set they can generate. And the best way to generate that data on a real-time basis is like, you know, internal knowledge sharing tool they can implement on their existing solutions. And now I was surprised, like all these large consulting companies talking about Gen AI 2 years and stuff, they totally missed that point. And now they're coming to us and they're like, basically, oh yeah, we run out of data now, like, or Copilot is exactly the same as ChatGPT, you know, just, you know, and how we can make it up to like real time. And this is, we have the active way of collecting data. So this is basically very revolutionary for enterprise strategy that we have. But Arman, I will be honest, and of course, there's much higher potential, like we can do multi-million dollar deployments on that front, and it's exciting. But what makes me start my day super excited is how we can democratize that technology. Rather than empowering large enterprises to build better co-pilots, I'm much more excited how consultant, you know, like 25-year-old, like a junior associate at a consulting company or founder or entrepreneur can access the knowledge of other professionals within real time and learn from AI and collaborate on a unified platform. That's more empowering and that's more motivating, because we kind of creating a multiplier impact on new ideas, new ways to resolve problems. And this is basically, and I, you know, that's why we launched the Enquire Pro with $18 a month now, or like experts can become a client, and we remove the barriers. Anyone, any 22-year-old that start working this year at a consulting company probably is very nervous about the AI and how his, her job going to survive, you know, next 5-10 years. And I think they're right to be nervous, because no one knows, you know, what's going to happen in 5-10 years. Most of the junior analyst work has been, can be replicated through, you know, AI as of today. And, and paralegals, right? Those are knowledge workers. So what we do is we helping them to augment their capabilities and make them more efficient. So if there will be only 5 consultants rather than 25 consultants, those 5 consultants need to work with AI and need to be efficient. And we want to be the tool those remaining 5 consultants use, because they're ahead of the curve and they're part of our Enquire Pro system. Is, but also they learn from AI, they collaborate, they meet other experts. We also created kind of a mind network tool, like a LinkedIn way of connecting with connecting with other professionals, messaging them, chatting with them. Because also don't forget, a 25-year-old working remotely now, most likely, very difficult to meet other industry people and get his or her next job. In our times, you know, we learn at the office, we had a mentor. So now how are they going to meet people? LinkedIn is, you know, no one responds anything on LinkedIn or social media. There are no networking like events like they used in the past. It's very difficult to be like an entrant to the knowledge economy today. And my motivating factor is how we make those young kids that are starting their jobs much more, you know, occupied and augmented, and they will succeed and they will be the ones who survive that craziness of AI revolution. That's much more exciting than helping large enterprises do with their co-pilots, to be honest with you.
Great. I'm so happy, Cenk, we connected and having you here. Great discussion. I'm going to ask you as the last question, if you have any book in mind that you like it personally or professionally, and you would like to share it with the audience.
Sure. I probably do three recommendations. I think one, I'm a big fan of Clayton Christensen. He's like Competing Against Luck is one of my favorite books, like about innovation, product, and, you know, thinking about what problem you solve. And, you know, you're not building a product. Basically, you're getting a job done. And what job you're going to get done with your product. I like that mentality. That gave me a lot of new perspectives. The other one is more tactical. A book called Funding Sales by Peter Kazanji. Is a book talks about sales and scaling. And that's also in aligned with the theme of your podcast, Arman, like how to scale a company from early days. The Funding Sales talks a lot about, you know, the early stage startups and how they need to build their sales engine. And the one mistake they make is like to go and hire immediately sales executives. And usually that fails because no one sells better than the founder. And, you know, so that talks a lot about the strategy. It was very eye-opening because, of course, we went through that process. The third one that I really enjoy reading right now, I almost finished, but Farid Zakaria's Age of Revolutions. It talks about different revolutions that happening or happen in the world and how they happen and what kind of impact they do on societies, business, trade, commerce, politics, whatever you can think of. And I think we've been living through multiple simultaneous revolutions at the same time now. So we have AI revolution, we have information revolution, we have like, you know, multiple, like we have a whole eradication of, you know, we're creating a multipolar world with, you know, US is losing its dominant power and there are more emerging power coming and more instability. And that is happening at the same time with the AI revolution, how those different revolutions gonna intersect with each other and create. So it's very eye-opening. So probably that will be those three books that I recommend everybody to understand, or every founder trying to scale a SaaS company to understand from the micro model, like building a product with the Christensen's book and the expanding it with the Funding Sales book, and then surviving in the Age of Revolutions with Clayton, with Farid Zakaria's book.
Okay, great. No, that's very thoughtful of you. Great. Again, thanks for joining us. Great discussion.
Thank you, Arman. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you for listening to SaaS Scaled with Arman Ashraghi. For show notes and any resources mentioned in today's episode, go to sasscaled.com. If you're enjoying our show, give us a 5-star review and share on LinkedIn. And be sure to subscribe for any updates on future episodes. Thanks for listening. This episode is brought to you by Curve, the modern no-code analytics solution for SaaS companies on AWS. The tools you need to take action with your data on a platform built for maximum scalability, security, and cost efficiencies. If you're ready to reduce complexity and dramatically lower costs, then contact us today at curvey.com. That's Q-R-V-E-Y.com.